Welcome back. Good evening, friends. Well, good afternoon, actually. Welcome to the Grace Hour. We're a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to learn about our faith in a practical way. My name is Ronaldo Brown, and I'm in the studio with Pastor Stephen Shibeli. And today, we're finishing our conversation about having ministry with people that may not share our same worldview, that we can be ecumenical without being adversarial. And we can also be ecumenical without being compromising. Some, too often the argument is, okay, to connect with people, we have to compromise truth. And that's not what the Bible teaches. But at the same time, they're not our enemy. They're not the enemy. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. So we're continuing that thought today. And we're going to talk about today on the Grace Hour, having humility in our doctrine. That's an interesting turn of phrase. Having humility in our doctrine. And we'll begin with a portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 18, the first five verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such a little child in my name receives me.
That's a great portion. Whosoever receives one such little child in my name, that's also important, receives me. And doesn't that make us stop and think about our receptivity and our relationships to people? Not just children only, but each and every person that is involved with initiating in our lives. And this idea of humility is so key. When we think about humility and doctrine, why it's important for us to have humility in our doctrine, well, humility means really simply, tapeno frosuni, means to be a receiver of God's mind, to have God's mind, humility. Sometimes people think of humility as some kind of way of acting or behavior pattern, you know?
Sure.
And they say that person's very quiet. They must be very humble. Well, they could be very quiet and be very proud without a doubt. But humility means really simply thinking with God. Tapeno prosune, thinking with God. We look at Philippians chapter 2. We see a great example of humility and humility in our doctrine. Jesus and humility. Then Paul speaks about himself in a way, the humility of the Apostle Paul. So there's Jesus, there's Paul, there's Timothy, and there's Epaphroditus. And then there's the Philippian church. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. So you've got Jesus, Paul, Timothy, Epaphroditus, and then the church being humble. And I would say this, that it's very important that leadership would have humility and be humble. Because other than that, they might just have a church that is totally like them and not humble and proud. And then what takes place is not a blessing from God. There is no fruit. There is no response that reveals the personality and the life of Christ. So thinking with God, humility. And this is really so key. As you go through the Bible, you'll see this time and time again. I was thinking about how humble. I mean, of all the men on the face of the earth, God chose Abraham. And it's interesting in Genesis chapter 12. And get thee up out of thy country, away from thy kindred, and from your father's house, Genesis 12, 1. And he just obeyed. Yeah. That's humility. That's humility. Humility is not some kind of behavioral pattern only, but it is really has to do with thinking with God. Obedience means to be under hearing. So if I'm under hearing, I'm humble. Like when Jesus was going after the Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 23, and he was very angry, and he was kind of like raising his voice towards them and saying things to them, whitewashed sepulchers, evil, some of the things he said, that was humility in action. See, humility is just thinking with God. It's not, you know, behaving a particular way. The behavior will come as a result of thinking with God. But sometimes we have this idea of humility being something that, you know, I'm very quiet, I say nothing, and I just accept things the way they are and whatnot. And that's not humility at all. That is just really some kind of human aspect of humility. So we see Abraham being very humble. We see Moses, and it's amazing, in Exodus chapter 2 and chapter 3, who am I? I know there was a little bit of self-depreciation there, but who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And God says, can you imagine? Not only had Moses forgotten the language of the Egyptians, he was also a stutterer. And God says, you're going to be the voice that's going to go. How about Aaron? How about Aaron? You know, you can use Aaron if you want, but I'm sending you. Moses was a very humble man. Mm. I mean, so much so, here he was. He had kind of mounted as high as you could go in Hebrews 11, 24 through 27, where he was kind of reigning over Egypt right next to Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, he finds himself in the wilderness, you know, in Exodus chapter 2 and chapter 3. And he's just there keeping sheep in the wilderness. And by the way, I think there are times when I am proud, or if I am proud, or you are proud, or we are proud, that God can bring us into situations that will simply just bring in the humility of God.
Yes.
Without a doubt, that happened in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah, who was kind of, you know, thinking at some kind of top level in some way about who he was, and then he was spoken to by God, and he said, I am unclean and I am undone. Mm. I'm unclean and I am undone. That actually means two things. Number one, I see there's sin in my life, unclean. Mm-hmm. And undone means I have no ability to perform.
Wow.
So I'm unclean. I'm a sinner without any ability. But he said this, but my eyes have seen the King. So humility, what a key. That was the key of God using Joshua and Caleb. The 10 spies came back, and this is pride. You know, you wouldn't think of this as being pride, but they say, we see walled cities and giants. Mm. In other words, they see the walled cities and the giants, the sons of Anak, and they don't see God.
Wow.
But Joshua and Caleb see God, and they come back, and both Joshua and Caleb are very humble, and Caleb will be still going after mountains when he's 85 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have that ministry, go after mountains when I'm 85. That's awesome.
Why not?
Yeah. Then there's Gideon. Very humble man.
Yeah.
He was the least in his family. His tribe was the least in Israel. He was the least in his father's house. But God chose him.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Samuel. Then there's David. You know, almost kind of not even recognized when it was this war with the Philistines against the people of God. Like he wasn't even brought up into the war. He came up to bring up some cheese sandwiches and bread. He was bringing up lunch, you know. And then he heard the mocking of a very proud Goliath. And I like how he just took his head off. By the way, God takes off the head of humility, of pride. He
wow.
takes the head off, spiritually speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually speaking, because the head of pride is Satan. And God takes his head. Then we see Nehemiah, very humble. Mm-hmm. Ezra, humble. Esther, humble. And we just see down through the scriptures, Jeremiah,
mm-hmm.
Daniel, and the three in that incredibly proud kingdom of Babylon and living in humility. God chooses 11 Galileans. Isn't it interesting that the only one that was educated was Judas?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's interesting. 11 Galilean fishermen. And it says of them, they were ignorant and unlearned men. But they notice one thing. They've been with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Humility. Peter was humble. A humble centurion in Matthew chapter 8.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worthy for you to enter into my house. Speak but the word, and my servant shall be healed. And we can see Jesus and his humility with a woman at a well in John chapter 4. Mm-hmm. We see humility in Jesus believing his father is going to hear his voice, and he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead in John 11. And time and time again
right.
through the book of Acts, we see this incredible humility. And Ephesians chapter 4, I mean, a church that has humility. The Corinthians were very proud. They were proud of their gifts.
Yes.
They were proud of their position. They were proud of their culture. They were proud of all of maybe their places of worship. And yet the church of Ephesus in chapter 4, Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, talks about humilities. The Galatians were proud, and
yeah.
they became foolish. See, you're not thinking with God, oh, foolish Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
He says it twice, Galatians 3, 1 and 3, 3. Foolish means you're a non-thinking person,
mm.
not the way we look at the word foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Foolish, mm-hmm. enoitos. You're not thinking with God. So when you're not thinking with God, there cannot be humility.
Wow.
So as a Christian, as a pastor, as a father, as a mother, as a teenager, as a young person, that this quality of humility is something that you will not find in the world system today. Because the world is proud, because the God of this world is proud, and he tries to make, and he kind of like has this thing going about a proud world system. And then religion is proud. Mm-hmm. Remember the Pharisees and how they would address Jesus? And he said that your father is the devil. By the way, that was humility when he told them their father was the devil. They were proud, and he was humble.
Wow.
And it's interesting. So let's think about this today as we consider this on Grace Hour, the importance of humility. Humility receives grace.
Mm-hmm.
James 4:5-8, 1 Peter 5:5.
Mm-hmm.
Humility receives grace. When there's no humility or thinking with God, if I'm not thinking with God, God doesn't give me grace to operate.
Mm.
But humility and thinking with God. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
So you can join us here on the Grace Hour. We'd love to hear from you about this amazing topic of having humility, not in just my life. That's the first point. And he made a great point when he said that the results of humility in my life is that I would have humility in my doctrine. We'd love to hear about that, because so often Christians are very aggressive. They have zeal, but not always wisdom in Romans chapter 10, 1-3. Particularly in the presentation and the living out of our doctrine. We'd love to hear from you. You can call us internationally at 1-800-338-7060, or locally you can reach us at 410-483-3700. You can also email your questions to questions@gracehour.org. You can also reach out to us through YouTube and Facebook links as you watch the program. We'd love to hear from you. Call in, write in greetings and questions on this amazing topic of having humility in my life that affects and involves my doctrine. Pastor Buddy, what often tends to happen is we speak from ourselves God's doctrine. Mm. And you kind of made it very clear that in my life, humility has to be part of my life. And it'll be part of my doctrine. And not just being humble in my approach to doctrine, but being humble in my approach to expressing doctrine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready to give a reasonable answer for the hope that is within you. And I think sometimes, Pastor Belly, we have so much passion in our gospel that we hide the principle. We don't bring out God. We bring out us. So there's humanity in my doctrine instead of humility in my doctrine.
I think, yeah, it's very true. Maybe I went to many, many different churches in ministry in Africa, and I still do. And there are churches that are not part of our own ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there's an area that I differ from them. I don't bring up that area.
Mm.
I don't. That's not edifying.
Exactly.
In other words, like maybe there's something that they do that and you could say, well, shouldn't you correct them, or shouldn't you? Are you afraid to tell the truth? No, I can go to the pastor one-on-one in friendship, and we can talk. But I've found out that, and that's why we had 86 churches represented in our Bible school.
Yep.
Because we didn't say, we know it all, and you need to change or whatnot. But I think just ministering to them the life of Christ, then they begin to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And really, humility is just thinking correctly, thinking with God. And this is what's key. Now, let me ask you a question. Can I really be humble without having a intense ministry in the Word of God? When I mean intense, I don't mean that you got to be studying the Bible all day long. But if I don't really care much about the Bible is how God thinks.
Yes.
And humility is thinking with God.
Mm.
So am I going to be a humble person if I really pay no attention to the Bible? So how about churches that really pay very little attention to the Bible? I'd say right off the bat, they're proud.
Hmm.
Because you think you know more than God's mind and God's thoughts.
Yes.
You know? And they're higher thoughts, and his ways are higher.
Mm-hmm.
So if I really care very little about the Bible, I'm going to say right away, I don't care whether you're a housewife, a mother, a pastor, a businessman, whoever you are, I don't think much about the Bible. I can't say I'm humble.
Hmm.
I can't say, I can maybe, I'm not talking about growing as a new believer,
right.
But if I don't really care much about the scriptures and the Word of God, how can I say there's humility in my life? And you know, one man said, I think it was Charles Spurgeon, Jesus really only described himself once.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of descriptions about his character. We know that. And it's true, and it's the Spirit, and it's the Word of God. But he said, I am meek and lowly. and you shall find rest for your soul. Maybe that's why there's no rest. That could be one of the keys. What does it mean? Meek is my relationship to the Bible. Mm-hmm. I do not resist, react, or rebel against the Bible. Mm-hmm. Prahutes is the word.
Yes.
Humble has to do with grace. Mm-hmm. Humble has to do with grace. And that's why Paul said in Acts 20:32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. See, the word of grace is the glory of God. That's also seen in John 1:14-18.
Yes.
So humility towards the nature and character of God, the grace of God, not just his favor, but his absolute character, who he is in his character and his attributes. And he says, I am meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your soul. You can't find rest when you're around a proud person.
Yes.
When you're around proud people, a proud church, there's no rest for the soul. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting. Yeah. And you will find rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. When you live in humility, everything is easy and light. Mm-hmm. You know, I meet some people sometimes, and I kind of understand where they're coming from. Oh, this Christianity is so hard. This position of pastoring is so hard and difficult. Walking with God is not easy. And I ask myself a question. I wonder who they're fellowshipping with.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about something that's hard and heavy. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says it's easy and light. Mm-hmm. So if you say it's hard and heavy, it's clear to me that you're not receiving.
Wow.
You're not receiving from the one who will make it easy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very simply like that. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He makes it easy and light. Mm-hmm. I find it's great joy and pleasure and easy and light to follow God.
Sure.
People that have this attitude that is so hard and so difficult, I have to wonder who they're fellowshipping with. Because Jesus could even look at the cross and still say, my yoke is easy, my burden is light.
You know?
And this is the Father's thought. So Jesus had to be humble. Why? He had to, I do always hear the voice of my Father, John 5:19 yes. and 30. So that means he's listening. This is amazing. He's the word of God, but he's listening to his Father's thoughts.
That's humble.
And that's called humility.
Wow.
He is the word, but he's listening to the Father's provision and initiation and purpose, and he is led by the thoughts of his Father through the Holy Spirit.
That's
called
key.
Humility. Here's the Son of God, God-man, God incarnate, listening to his Father's thoughts and being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Really. It's amazing when you think about that.
When you say, and I think, Wes, what's missing in my doctrine is that there cannot just be the word, 1 Corinthians 3:6, the letter killed, but the Spirit gives life. It has to be the marriage of the word and the author of the word, the Holy Spirit. Because without that, we, as a Christian, I can live in the culture of my faith and not the spirit of my faith.
Right.
And I'll be hard, and I'll be legalistic. And then you'll end up being this. You end up being adversarial. You start seeing us against them instead of us among them.
We can look at it one way. I mean, I don't want to. I'm going to mention these two names, and it doesn't go for everybody. Just for some, I've seen in Africa missions, in particular, Pentecostals and Baptists. Sometimes they become adversarial.
Yes.
Rather than saying, okay, like this is what they think, I'm going to fellowship with them on the level that we agree on, and then creatively bring in through life and love thoughts that may be different.
I like
that.
And
if they are received, great. If they're not received, then just walk on with God and leave them to God. How about leaving them out to God instead of railing on people all the time?
Wow.
You know, I'm going to rail on people like Jehovah's Witnesses. Mm-hmm. I'm going to rail on people that don't believe in being born again. Not rail on them, but I'm going to make it very clear to you that they're not from God. But you know what? We're talking about brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
And maybe they have not been taught. Mm-hmm. And they need to be taught. And maybe sometimes me, with all of my knowledge of the Bible, can become proud, and they're humble.
Wow.
And they have little knowledge of the Bible, but they're humble because they're willing to receive and respond. But I'm trying to control through my viewpoint of doctrine. You see that happening. Why is there so much trouble in Christianity today?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of trouble. So many divisions, so many types of this and types of that.
Yes.
Because is there humility?
Wow.
Is there humility? What's going on there, you know? So I would be invited to go to all kinds of different churches, and I would not bring up a difference in the pulpit.
Yes, yes.
The man has invited me to speak in his church.
Right.
I'm going to edify and build him up and not in any way go after any area.
Right.
Because he has said, I want you to speak here.
Yes.
You know, and whatnot. So humility. But thinking with God, Tapino Frassuni.
Yes.
Being a person who is saying yes to God's thoughts and God's mind, which produce God's ways. That's humility.
Yeah.
And I think, like you said, when my heart is right and I'm rightly connected to the source of humility, God's mind through God's spirit, the expression of God's mind, doctrine, the organized expression of God will be through humility.
Yes.
And you touched on a key word there. It's in 1 Peter 3:15. It says gentleness, but it's the word for meekness, being meek.
Yeah.
If I'm meek, we hear this word in Christianity, same with humility, weakness is meekness, or you feel like you're not being strong, and we have to control people in our presentation of the gospel. But can I be in control without controlling the conversation? Can I be in spiritual control without controlling the conversation for the sake of communion, right? That you can win someone, that I'm not so corrective, I'm not so adversarial, I'm not attacking, they're not the enemy, but I would that I would win some so that in Romans 3:8, I don't do evil that my good would be seen.
Yeah.
And how many guys have been spoiled because someone hammered them with the word that they didn't present God's heart in God's mind. They just gave God's mind without God's heart. And it becomes this adversarial battle of us against them, right?
Well, yeah, you give God's mind. Like I like what Paul said, that I have found David, or in the book of Acts, that I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after God's own heart who will fulfill all of his will. So the man who is submitted to God's heart and receptivity fulfills his will. There's an interesting question up there I want to address.
Yep. Can we go back up?
How do I come boldly to the throne of grace and be humble? At the same time, coming boldly doesn't mean you're proud. Boldly is the word parousia.
Yes.
It means you come with freedom.
Okay.
You come with a great freedom. You're freely coming to the throne of grace. And it doesn't mean that you're proud to come boldly with an absolute freedom with God in my relationship.
Yes.
And that's how you come. You come boldly to the throne of grace and
beautiful.
Get grace to help in time of need.
Let's read some of our comments here online. And by the way, while we're reading these comments, we still love to hear from you. You can call us internationally at 1-800-338-7060 or locally at 410-483-3700. And keep your questions and comments coming online. Pastor C. Morello says, humility, a great topic. Greater Grace Church of Kolkata, wow, Pastor, that was a great topic on humility. We need to hear more such messages. Grace Cabana says that I've got a question. Pastor, how can you teach someone or rebuke someone with the word of God, but in a gracious way? Great question.
Well, how you can rebuke them in a gracious way. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, and that was a gracious way, but it didn't seem like it when we determined the definition of grace through some kind of humanistic way of defining it. So a gracious way would mean to do it God's way. How about when Jesus says to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you savor the things that are not of God but of man. And so he's rebuking Peter, but don't forget, Jesus and Peter knows how much Jesus loves him, and that he can say something. In other words, you can say something to your children that maybe I can't say because you've invested in them and you've ministered to them. So it's so key and so important for us to realize that rebuke doesn't mean we're yelling and screaming and acting unspiritual and angry. Doesn't mean that. By the way, you can be an angry. Jesus was angry at times.
Sure,
he was angry at evil and angry at sin. But I'm coming across helping to create a capacity in a person that they would respond to God. So rebuke, what does that word actually mean? And it means to initiate God's thoughts to have a reverse in the person's thinking.
So it's like relational repentance, really.
Yeah.
Okay. We got some more comments here. I love the consistency. It keeps me coming back for more. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for speaking through these holy people. Another comment, my God, that's good. Oliver Robbins says, good thoughts. Someone says, leave them to God. And I want to touch on that for a second. Because in 1 Peter 3:15, God does give us a platform to present our faith, to initiate not just the gospel, to initiate truth. So don't feel as though if you and then that leading has to be led. Romans 8:14, you are led by the Spirit to follow in 1 Peter 3:15. But it's not this situation where we're all monks in a cave and we just pray for folks and we never confront doctrine. We never present ourselves, but there's a way, like you said, this meekness and this gentleness and there's humility that I can present and live out my doctrine to people. It says here, Hannah Pigova says, it's hard to be with God. It's hard not to be with God. Grace says, thank you for answering her question. Andy says, who would say we don't have to be born again when John 3:7 clearly says we must be born again?
Who would say it? Somebody that doesn't know God.
Then he asked the question, is there a verse that says how to be born again?
John 3:3-7.
There it is.
1 Peter 1:22-23, James 1:17-18, and Ezekiel 36:26.
There you go, Andy. There's some verses for you. Tiffany says hi from the Kentucky truck plant.
Truck plant. Wow. Are you planting trucks?
Wow. They're planting a lot of things in Kentucky. They're not planting trucks.
They are. And I think it's great, like when you think about just listening to God and hearing the voice of God, and it could be that God has spoken to you, and nobody else agrees with you or understands it, you know, and God has spoken to you about loving maybe a person that's an enemy,
yes,
ministering to them, and that takes humility, that takes thinking with God. How about when God says that, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you and despitefully use you? That's going to take God to do that.
It has to
be. It's
going
to be thinking with God. What I would like to say is, I wish that this would happen to the enemy, or that would happen to the enemy. And God is saying, I want you to love them.
Oh, wow.
How about, Father, here's humility. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Wow.
He's thinking with God. He's thinking. Mm-hmm. He's thinking as God. And he's thinking, you know, he's telling his Father, I want you to forgive them. Hmm. They don't know what they're doing. And by the way, isn't that the instance many times in people's lives?
Sure.
They really just don't know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And they don't have a mindset with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just doing this or they're doing that. But we can see. And by the way, we can see Paul confronting proud people at times in the book of Acts.
Yes.
You know? You can see how do they deal with Elymas the sorcerer?
Mm-hmm.
Call him a son of the devil. That's humility. No, that's humility. Son of the devil, be blind.
Yeah.
Humility is thinking with God. I'm not going to be friends with somebody who is evil,
okay,
is aggressively evil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about having just an evil old sin nature, but it's aggressively evil through mm-hmm. demonic initiations towards the church, or mm-hmm. towards men and women of God, and towards the scriptures.
Sure.
And whatnot. I'm that's not humility at all. That's like just like being a coward, I would say sometimes, you know, just
wow.
afraid to confront people, afraid to confront
there
situations.
Is a large people that are not confrontational. But I like what you said about humility. If humility is thinking with God and doctrine is God's thoughts, then I have to think with God when I express God's thoughts. Or if I'm not thinking with God as I express God's thoughts, I'm expressing my thoughts about God's thoughts.
Yes. I once went into a president of a country. I was brought in to meet a president of a country as a missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all kinds of people tell me, be very careful what you say.
Of course.
We have to live here. And you don't live here.
You were
and,
kind. You
know, be very careful what you say. And I walked in and I sat down. And I said, thank you for having us. And my first question to you would be, are you born again? And
okay.
Yeah, I went right off the chart with it. Are you born again? And you know what the president of the country said to me?
Mm.
I really respect you and thank you for asking that question, because
mm-hmm.
it's more important to you that I'm saved and where my soul is going than what you can get from this country
mm-hmm.
or your relationship to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And then he totally became a friend
wow.
that is still with us today, and the influence that he had in those days still is with us
wow.
in this country. So you know what? Maybe somebody would say, that's being proud, asking him if he's born again.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't being proud. It was being, you know, thinking with God. God's concerned with the man's soul.
Yes.
God's concerned with who the man is. I did it with Governor Dukakis in Massachusetts. I went down there and I had a Bible from his, it was given to me from someone in his little village in
mm-hmm.
Greece.
Mm-hmm.
And I went there and I was told once again, you know, you should be very
careful.
You
were warned.
I was warned
again. You were cautioned.
And I said to him, I'm here to bring you a Bible. And in that Bible, it talks about having a relationship with God.
Oh.
And he was very, very gracious.
See?
He just said, like, you know, thank you so much. No one's ever given me a Greek Bible written in Greek, you know, from my hometown. This is amazing, you know.
Wow.
So if you think, if you don't want to think with God, sometimes you think with yourself and you end up in more trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
You end up in more trouble.
So you think with God, and then if you think with God, then you have God's thoughts in your doctrine, which is God's thoughts. And I think that's really important that I if I'm not careful, as an adversarial, I can be aggressive without the Holy Spirit and I will hurt people. But if there is a measure of a spirit that is courageous and confronting and bold, and it doesn't look like it, it's not the natural definition of humility. But the most important thing is we're trying to win people.
Yes.
Some more comments here from online. Hannah says, hello, pastors. Pastor Trebelli, Montreal is waiting for your visit.
Are they?
That's what they say.
Well, yeah, they got to call me up once in a while.
Denise Morgan. Yeah, Hannah, call Grace.
Have Pastor James do it.
Denise Morgan says, great message. Pastor Steve Murillo says, would you rather a kiss from an enemy or a rebuke from a friend?
I'd rather have a rebuke from a friend. I'd rather have that. I had to rebuke him once because he was telling me, Pastor Steve Murillo, that you know he had 8 straight shutouts as a goalie. He has the record. And I said, that's not true. Then I found out it was true.
Oh, wow.
And I had to repent.
There was humility in your doctrine.
And see, he's humble, but he was a great goalie.
I see.
He was at the top of his game. He said that even players that play today in hockey. And that's humility. He's being humble, I think. Yeah.
Wow, you can't say humility without saying Pastor Steve Murillo. So.
Yeah.
Oretta Carter says, good morning to my faithful pastors and teachers of God's holy word. This is glorious truths. Lisa Ray LaVenture says, so many are so oversensitive to even attempt to correct their doctrine to them is difficult.
Exactly. Yeah, they're oversensitive. And maybe they've been approached incorrectly. Mm-hmm. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
Maybe people that tried to correct them didn't do it with a spirit of meekness, Galatians 6:1.
Yes.
They should be overtaken in a fault.
Yes.
You know, do it with a spirit of meekness. I'm not going to like be on the attack. I'm not using truth to hurt them and harm them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really concerned about their soul and receiving the truth. And also knowing that, how do I know if I might not be wrong?
Wow.
You know, here's another thing. Like sometimes we're so sure about everything, and it's good to be sure.
Right.
But you know what? I don't want to give that impression that I'm so sure that I'm absolutely right and you're absolutely wrong and this is how it's going to be. But saying like something like this, like, have you ever considered what it means to be born again? Say the person doesn't believe in that, you know? And by the way, it was a Catholic priest that first told me about being born again.
Wow.
Yeah, Father Barnabas was his name, from the St. Francis Chapel on Worthington Street, Bridge Street in Springfield, Massachusetts. He said, there's much more than coming to church, he said to me. It's much more than coming to church. You need to have a relationship with God.
Wow.
I had never heard that. I didn't get saved right away.
I'm
I got
a priest.
Saved later. It's 1973.
Woo.
1973 and 74. And it took me another couple of years to grasp that truth.
Mm-hmm. It was 50 years ago.
He was humble and maybe even at the risk of having a problem.
Right.
By saying those kind of things. But I never forget it. He was so different and whatnot. And so humility. Humility. Thinking with God. And that means that at times Paul is thinking with God and he says, I think it's best if John Mark goes back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he says later on, I think it's best if John Mark comes.
Wow.
You know, he's thinking with God, and he was thinking with God to restore him when there was trouble. So thinking with God when maybe I've got to confront a situation.
Right.
Thinking with God, you know. I mean, one time I remember a situation that happened at a Christian school when I was headmaster of a Christian school. And it was a very difficult situation, but in humility and thinking with God, I had to say something to the parents of a few of the students, and they were not happy about it, you know, removing their children from school for a particular reason, you know. But then they came back later and saw that it was true.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do it, and I said, God, you know, help me to think with you. Have your mind in this.
That's it.
Not a mind of just being oversensitive and being emotional and attached to the thing, but really, and even towards our own lives, we have to have humility and meekness in our own lives. Like, how do I know that that's right?
That's amazing.
How do I know?
I've got to be careful that in my desire to be right, I don't operate in imparted righteousness. More comments from online. Oretta Carter says, amen, amen. It's all about our souls. Doreen Kimball says, hi, Pastor Shabelli.
Who?
Doreen Kimball.
Oh, she is one of my favorites up in Massachusetts.
Yes.
She should call us sometime on the Grace Hour. She's been in the ministry all the way back since, I'm talking like 40 years, maybe. 40 years, something like that, well, yeah.
Doreen, you just got a call out. Call
out. You got a call out to call us.
Love to hear with you. Greater Grace Church of Montreal says, awesome episode. Humility is thinking with God, and doctrine is God's thoughts, that I must think with God and expressing God's thoughts. Another commenter says, all glory to God. Thank you, pastors. Really, God is doing an amazing work. I thank you for this platform. I'm learning new things. Watching from India and Skim.
Wow.
Denise Morgan says, thank you for sharing with us. Again, Grace says, yes and amen. Doreen again says, okay. I guess the okay for Doreen says she's going to reach out. But this is a great topic. I mean, because so often in our life, particularly in a ministry that ours that is Word of God based, we tend to lead with our doctrine. We lead with God's mind without making sure that we are thinking with God's mind.
Yes. leading with God's mind and making sure that we're thinking with God's mind.
Yeah, because if I don't do that, I become legalistic.
Yeah.
I will become legalistic, and I'll bruise and hurt people with God. I'll weaponize the Bible without the mind of God.
I mean, because it can be letter and not spirit.
Yeah.
The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So
that's right.
I can use the Bible to destroy people.
Mm.
I mean, I can use the Bible in such an incorrect way. We have many people that are Orthodox that are not born again. They use the Bible.
Yeah.
But they're not helping people. She's asking what the phone number is. 410-483-3700.
Or internationally at 1-800-338-7060. Doreen, even though you're in Massachusetts, that might be some make
that's America.
That could be another country, Massachusetts.
No, no. Come on. Go easy on us now.
Massachusetts. But I think, Pastor Billy, why do you think people struggle with humility when it comes to the doctrine?
Well, it's very simple. Number one, Satan's proud.
Okay.
Number two, the world's proud. Number three, the flesh is proud.
Mm.
So you've got the combination of the unholy trinity of pride.
Mm.
Okay. You've got Satan, the world, and the old sin nature. So that's what's going on. And that can, if you're not solid in being a receiver of God's thoughts and God's word, we can live with wrong thoughts, which produce wrong ways.
Mm.
So I think there's no humility when I'm controlled by how the world thinks, how the enemy thinks, and how my flesh thinks.
Mm. What is 1 Corinthians 8:1, the letter? Knowledge puffs up.
But love edifies.
Yes.
Love edifies.
Yes. Huh? We have a comment here, a couple comments here. Okay, Doreen, I'll slow down with the number. 410-483-3700. Okay. Kathy Caring says, thinking with God brings me peace.
That's awesome.
Chanchal Rajput says, love your enemies, God commanded. So sharing the gospel with them is right or not?
It's right. It's right. I mean, of course you want to be led by the Holy Spirit in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
There might be times when you shouldn't share the gospel. This is an appropriate situation.
Sure.
You know, but I think we want to share the good news with them. We want to share the life of Christ with them. And by the way, that's done verbally, and that can be done, like, am I living the life of God before people?
Yes, excellent. You know? Yes.
Some people share the word of the gospel with their mouth, but their life is far from it. They don't act. It's like they don't act like it's the gospel.
Right.
You know?
It's my life. Pastor Steve Morello says, Revere is another country.
He's definitely right about that.
He put that clearly there. Carol Bailey says, thank you for these truths. And I think this brings in balance, because as much as we evangelize in Acts 1:8 and 2:6, we present the gospel. We don't push the gospel. We present the gospel.
Right.
And there's a dramatic difference. And people are human. They can discern. They can tell, are you condescending to me? Are you standing on your high horse and you looking down at me and you're fixing my life while your life is perfect, like you just said? Or are you beside me? Are you against me, or are you among me? Like John 1:14, he came and dwelt among us. Are you among me? Because then you're just like me. We're both looking to Christ, and then I can give a reasonable answer for the hope that is within me.
Amen. You know, and it's interesting, like in evangelizing or giving the gospel to people, it's like, I want to hear from God.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because I remember one time I went to evangelize a certain person. He was standing on a porch smoking a cigar. He had tattoos all over his body and whatnot. Nothing wrong with tattoos, but I'm just telling you, I'm trying to make an impression of what he was like and whatnot. And he said to me, "Don't come into that gate in my yard. Get the hell away from my yard. Get away from me." Mm. And I sat there for a moment and I thought, okay, God, what should I say? And I said to him, "Say hello to the devil when you get to hell."
Wow.
Now, that I've never said that in my life before, and I haven't said it since then.
Okay.
You know what happened? Like about a week later, I went by there. He says, "Could you come in and talk to me?" He said, "Would you? Could you talk to me? He said to me, "What you said to me shook me." He said, "You believe there's a hell?" I said, "Yes, there is." You know, so maybe if I would have said that, somebody could be viewing from the outside and say that's proud. Mm-hmm. But actually, that was what God wanted to have said, because you know Jesus spoke a lot about hell in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, and people will say if you talk about hell, well, don't be proud talking about hell. Really, it's in the scriptures.
Yes,
more so than what he spoke about with heaven. So, you know. Don't become subjective and don't just do things to get a reaction, but really think it through and what's God saying. I think we have Doreen on the line.
We do. So the key is it's not the soft expression that is humility in my doctrine. It's not the severe expression that is humility in my doctrine, but it's the spiritual expression. And that can manifest in a variety of ways. And all of it's humility when the spirit is behind it. Okay, we've got Doreen on the line. Hi, Doreen. You're on the Grace Hour.
Can you hear me, guys?
Perfectly.
I just can't see you, but I obviously can hear you. Morning, or I'm going to say good mid-morning.
Okay.
Not quite 12 o'clock yet.
Let me give you some French, Doreen. Bon après-midi. I'm very
French. He's trying to speak French, but it's not working, Doreen.
Come on now.
Haven't heard from you in a long time.
Well, I send messages to Linda, like, every so often.
Wow.
she tells you sometimes, I think.
How's your family?
They're okay. They're fine. Just keep praying. I'm praying for the salvation of all my children, all my family and friends. I'm pretty sure that most of my family is saved. Now I'm just praying that they would start following and in the word and letting their fruit be shown.
Amen. And it's great, Doreen, that you have a heart of humility towards them and that you express truth to them in a very practical but in a very humble way. It actually ministers, especially with family. Family is always tough because family believes you can't tell them anything, you know?
Absolutely. It's very, very tough.
Wow.
I think we learned a lot about humility through the teaching that we had in the church in Massachusetts. And then when the trials came and the tests came, we learned a lot about humility based upon those trials and tests. And sometimes those things that are disappointments are actually opportunities to fellowship with God. Because Jesus was totally rejected. I was just thinking about that. Totally rejected by religious people, by just about everyone, you know, in the religious hierarchy. And so sometimes you'll learn humility based upon things that are happening. And at the time, it's not comfortable with opposition being all around, but then it does work something in to the character and nature of an individual believer. And I like this verse. It says, all things are for your sake. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 4:15-18. Everything is for my sake that I can grow. So.
Amen.
I know, regardless of whether, you know, by sight that we see it, it basically always comes down to having the faith. Just keep believing.
Walking by faith and believing God. Have realistic faith that God is real and that God is working. Amen. Thank you, Doreen, for calling in. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Welcome. Bye, guys.
Take care now. More comments we have online. Grace is asking, a friend is asking, can sentimentality get in the way of getting right with the doctrine, say in a relationship?
Can sentimentality get in the way of getting right with a doctor? Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, sentimentality means that I am favoring something that is operating towards my soul and not towards the spirit of God, towards my soul and towards the old sin nature.
Right.
I'm sentimental. And because I'm sentimental, it becomes a distraction. And it prevents a person from getting right with God. I'm sentimental about where I've always gone to church. Mm-hmm. I'm sentimental about what I believe is true. I'm sentimental, you know, about relationships and whatnot. And I'm even sentimental about God. I'm just sentimental about God. And I don't allow the truth to come through. Yeah, sentimentality has been something that has destroyed many people's lives and testimonies.
But that's the other side of humility in my doctrine. On the one side, we want to say, okay, I don't want to be adversarial, but I've got to be careful that I'm not compromising truth through sentimentality. In other words, in my desire to win this person, will I compromise truth and call it being humble?
That's a good question.
Because that's a tough one. Because, again, it's that thing we said earlier. It's not me being too soft and not me being too severe, but I really have to let the spirit of my faith, the Holy Spirit, guide me in the word. Otherwise, I'm bound to live in the culture of my faith, and some cultures might be very soft, and some cultures, as far as their faith, may be very aggressive and very hard and very rough. And the balance has got to be the spirit.
I need to live in the cross culture. not cross culture Christianity missions, but a culture of the cross, of the finished work, of the person and the work of God. Mm. That's called the cross culture.
Amen.
And that is so key. But I love the topic of humility and how important it is in our life and just simply thinking with God.
Yes.
So I just challenge all of us. Like, may I want to read my Bible. I want to think with God. I want to learn what God says about everything. By the way, the Bible has an answer for every single situation, every single problem, every single aspect of my Christian life or life in this world. The Bible has the answer. And if I'm humble, I'll go to the Bible.
Yes.
You know what?
Yeah.
If I'm not humble, I read the Bible once in a while. You know what? I'm going to have to say, you're not very humble.
Yeah.
You're not very humble. You don't think that the Bible is important, the Word of God is important. And if Satan can do anything as a proud enemy, steal the Bible. If he steals the Word of God from Christians' lives and from churches, all that is about music, and I love music, and it's prayer, and it's all kinds of, this display of gifts or something, and it's not about the Scriptures, then people never learn to think with God.
Yeah.
And so the enemy has trapped them.
Yep.
And they can't think with God. And how do they deal with situations that come up in life that require thinking with God?
Yeah, that's awesome. Humility in your doctrine begins with thinking with God's mind, and then you will always express God's mind in a humble way. Thank you for joining us today on The Grace Hour. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Join us here next week. At this same time on The Grace Hour, we'd love to hear from you and see you this weekend. You can find us at 6025 Moravia Park Drive in Baltimore, Maryland. We have services on Sundays at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. God bless you and thank you and have a great day.